Davin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den, Filling the Void. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a date with somebody who is your political opposite. I am your host, Davin Rosemont. I'm joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, is it time to end the playing of God Bless America during the seventh inning of baseball games? A dating site geared just for all you Trump supporters. And we found some personals on that dating site with Donald and some on a Hillary site that may or may not exist for Hillary and her supporters. right down the block from me, hitting close to home, just happened. A Trump supporter kicked out of a Mexican restaurant for wearing Trump gear. Drunks in the news, a stunning revelation about a very popular whiskey.
Mm.
And a new trend with apps that may cost you money. But let's get right to it. So there was an editorial in the Daily News, the New York Daily News, and the person and the author posited that perhaps we should stop the God Bless America during the seventh inning. This is what he wrote. After 9/11, God Bless America was played in every ballpark during the seventh inning. I recall that. The Yankees still played at every game. They do. Mm-hmm. Most other teams played either only on Sundays or holidays. Weird if they played it during Ramadan. But anyway. But it's not our national anthem, yet we are compelled to stand at attention with our hat in hand like it is. A poll conducted by Cheryl Kaskowitz for her 2013 book, God Bless America, The Surprising History of an Iconic Song, says it's all. More than 61% of baseball fans, even the ones who like the song, don't want to play it at games. It's been viewed as a divisive as American politics. These Jews with their names. Research found that 83.8% of people who describe themselves as very liberal dislike the song, while 20.5% of people who call themselves very conservative have a problem with it. More than 88% of atheists dislike the songs. So, does it offend you at games?
No, not at all. It's a song, it's a patriotic song.
Well, we did the national anthem.
But still, it's a patriotic song about American pastime.
It's not about America's pastime. It has nothing to do with baseball.
But it's being sung at a baseball park.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with the pastime.
It should be
Take Me Out to the Ball Game is the song for America's pastime.
They shouldn't ban it. They should make
That's not calling for a ban. It's not like Muslims coming here.
Understood. Ban it from the game. It should be up to each individual team.
It is. But he's saying, enough. We get it. It's schmaltzy. We're doing the national anthem. What do you think? You go to baseball games.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I agree with you. It's not the national anthem. I'm standing out of town. Why do I got to stand for this song? Plus, my father said Kate Smith was an anti-Semite. Somebody can look that up and see if it's true.
Interesting.
Almost every time the song comes on. That Kate Smith's an anti-Semite. I mean, he stands. He takes his cap off. But
she wasn't singing, oh, say, can you see you Jews standing there? I mean, it wasn't like that, you know?
She didn't write the song.
If she wrote it, it might be in
Irving
there.
Irving Berlin wrote the song.
I know.
She didn't write the song.
I know.
It does not inspire patriotism in me.
Well, the thing is that it's a really strange thing to have a song that's saying, God bless America, and the rest of you go screw yourselves. You know?
Well, I don't think it says that either.
No. Oh, you know what? That's my version. Sorry. But
under her breath.
And the rest of you go screw yourselves. No, it's very a strange conceit to think that the Almighty is picking out
Lots
one particular country and saying, I like you guys best.
Well,
Don't tell the rest.
The fundamental terrorists, you know, with God willing, we will destroy America. So they got God. I mean, God's very conflicted on this whole thing.
Oh, I see.
Am I blessing it or am I destroying it?
But they could switch it to every religion. Like atheists, hey, you bless America, you know.
But that's just it. Why do we need God there?
We don't.
And it has nothing to do with baseball.
No. And it's a terrible, terrible song.
You don't like the song?
Well, I don't like the way it's rendered either. It's terrible. I mean,
I assume that was Kate Smith.
Through the mountains, to the oceans, white with foam. You don't like
white
oceans,
with
white
foam.
With foam?
No, you're not going in that water.
No.
Probably polluted.
You don't know where it's been.
What?
Yeah, you don't know
it's white with foam.
You're listening
I'm not
to
sticking
it.
My toe in that.
Foam? It's foam. Ocean foam.
It's
who knows where that ocean's
That's
been.
That's good old American ocean foam.
No, oceans are not American. They're international.
Up to a certain point, they're American.
Yeah, but who knows where that water's been? It could have been cheating on
it. It gets cleaned as soon as it crosses that 3-mile border.
Do you think so?
By good old American
you
sand.
You go to the Jersey Shore, you tell me a clean pen. I dare you. That, no, go and drink some of that phone, stupid. Yeah.
It's some kind of toxic algae, and look, you know
when
it.
When that barrel of waste rolls through that tide, it's cleaned by good old American ingenuity water.
You think?
Sure. The seahorses scrub it.
Do they?
Don't you know anything about the ocean?
Clearly not.
Yeah, you
I
don't.
Need a marine biologist like you to clear it up.
We've got good old seahorses that come in and they scrub it as it comes in.
I'm thinking horse something, but it's not.
American seahorses, my friend.
You know, I don't want to be anywhere near that because, listen, I'm watching the Yankees. I'm listening to this song, Oceans. We're right next to the East River. This does not give you a happy, friendly feeling about water.
Look, you're at a Yankee game. You're looking for anybody to bless something. All right?
I'm in the little...
That was very stupid, but no.
I'm in the middle of the Bronx.
Joe's having a season and a half where it's good to be a Met fan. Come back in 30 years when it happens again.
Oh, now the jewelry salesman come out. That's what happens with Yankee fans. They all turn into jewelry
I didn't
salesman.
Say anything.
Jewelry nah, salesman?
You know, all rings and stuff. Oh, look, I mentioned, rings.
I mentioned nothing jewelry. About our world record 27.
There we go.
Well, you asked. For it, yeah, nothing about it. You brought it up. Do you get it? Like, so do you get a sentence that somebody does not stand and take off their hat for God Bless America?
Actually, you know what? There is something. If everybody is saying that this is something that they're saying they're proud, and I understand why some of the guys will be like, "Hats off!" You know, they freak out. If
we're not talking the national anthem, we're talking God Bless America.
Yes, people freak.
No,
out.
No, I know. I would probably get offended, even though I don't want to be standing with my hat off either.
I don't see why you have. It's not the national anthem. I don't see why you have to stand with any song, any other song. I mean, you know, even if I know you love them, but even if it's one of your favorite songs from. Oh my God!
Hell of an example,
and you use God.
I know. I
God ain't blessing this sample.
I lost the plot. I was gonna.
I'll tell you something else. I don't even need. I don't even need the national anthem before sporting events. I don't need that.
No, I see why that would be really harder to get rid of. But this,
I'm not saying we have to get rid of.
I wouldn't like the national anthem before.
Why? Yeah. We don't have it during a play. We don't have it during comedy shows.
But it's not in an assembly like that. It's nice. It's.
Why over sporting events over like over a comedy club? Why?
Can't even get their drinks out in time.
Well,
I know.
But it makes no sense. It's a gathering of people. Yeah. We can't. What, comedy fans aren't patriotic? Is that what you're saying, Joe? Are you saying they're communist?
Somebody is his ideal with, yes. Like my views.
No, but I mean, but I'm just saying, if you're going to have it at sporting events, you might as well have it at, like before a Broadway show.
Well, you know, I understand what you're saying. It's like it doesn't really seem to go. I think it's enough of the tradition that people would really miss that. But God Bless America could really go.
Yeah, I think it's more of a we're a place where it's more of a competitive nature. You would have that.
Yeah, who sings it best?
Who?
I don't know. You said competitive nature.
No, where it is a competitive nature.
The game, not the singing.
All right, next we go to competitive dating with Trump. Listen to that. Ugh. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. So it turns out that there is a dating site just for Trumpsters. It is called TrumpSingles.com. No, this is not a bit. Did not make this up. This is, in fact, real. It was created by David Gross, and he felt Trump followers faced a stigma in the dating scene because of the, quote, brash things that the presumptive GOP presidential nominee has said. I think we're beyond brash, by the way. Nah. But okay, we'll use his word. Brash. He just tells it like it is.
Uh-huh.
That's what he does. That'd be a great dating site. Tells it like it is. You're fat. No!
No!
I'm just not being politically correct. Don't hate me. Can you imagine?
Oh,
that would be awesome. I'm not looking for fatties. What?
People write that. Are you kidding me?
Well, but you should all go to TrumpSingles.com. Stop beating around the bush. We'll get there. Yeah. If all goes well.
And then there'll be no beating around the bush.
And as if, I don't like bushes, but I should have been any of you. Anyway.
I didn't know you were so fussy about landscape.
I most certainly am. I'm not. But but I'm not on the site. Gross said people have told them that they're so happy they can finally go on dates without worrying about political differences.
Okay.
The dating site, and this is from a couple weeks ago where I saw this, has over 500 users, probably more now. Many of them are based in New York, Washington, and Los Angeles, very liberal places.
Yeah, primarily.
Probably, they probably feel attacked and oppressed by the libtards. So they must congregate.
That's a terrible word.
I didn't make it up.
I know.
I thought you were channeling me.
I know, for a second.
I said you were tardy. I didn't call you libtard. Yes. The site isn't the first to capitalize on this romantic aspect of politics. For those who are decidedly not Trump fans, there's a dating website called Maple Match. For those who are looking to find potential Canadian mates to move away if Trump should happen to become president. I like that there's a real site for that. Look at Joe shaking his head. Come on. There'll be a wall. You can't get out. So this is the real thing. I kind of see the attractiveness of dating sites based on politics. I kind of see it.
Yeah, because at least you know what you're getting, you know.
Not only do you know what you're getting, basically you have a talking point when you sit down to have a drink or you have dinner.
Can your first date, just the two of you going over the party's talking points?
Yes.
Oh, God.
No,
oh.
But it is an icebreaker. It's something to break up the, you know,
awkwardness.
Thank you. The awkwardness of first meeting with somebody.
Yeah.
You talk about that. Yeah, well, it's weird. You know, let's say you sit down. Well, it's kind of funny to have a try. You know, I believe, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, so where do you live? What do you get? What about you? You know, it's an icebreaker. It's almost like
you're just not supposed to be talking about politics and religion.
But the thing is, for some people in a city, these cities that you stated, where there are a lot of people that are liberal and might not have the same views you do, it's nice that you meet with somebody that has the same views you do. It's already a head start.
It is a head start.
Yeah, but you know that you already have something in common. And the other thing is, the reason you're not supposed to talk about politics or religion is because the presumption is that you might touch on a sore spot with the other person because they won't be on the same page as you. But here, you know, you're already going to be on the same page.
Yeah, like I said, on my movie that we're pushing with Cammy and Maggie, both very left-wing liberals. We never, Cammy and I, never ever talked politics. Ever. We had dinner.
Smart.
But the funny thing is, the three of us had dinner one night. We were going over how we were going to market everything. And then Cammy goes, Maggie goes, all right, Joe. Trump, why? And we the three of us actually talk politics.
Did you break into your song about unicorns?
No. But, you know, we actually, you know, we talked to it, and it's all, you know, it's all good, you know.
Would you go on a, if you were single, would you go on a Trump dating site?
If I was single, yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the simple reason, if I was going to date, there would be somebody with an interest that I would have. And I wouldn't have to, and when you go out to small talk, you already have the dialogue where you take the awkwardness. Wow, can you believe there's a site, blah, blah, blah. And then it eases in. It's almost like we're a comedy, it sounds, you know, a comedy club is a great place for a first date. Because
not if I'm on stage.
Yeah, well, not.
No.
Thing for anything. But anyway. But
crack yourself up with that one.
Yeah. But, you know, before I became a comic myself, I used to go to comedy clubs on dates because it took the awkwardness away.
Yeah, the laughter
it gave
is
you
good.
Talking, but yeah. That comic was funny, the comic was this, comic was that, what great food, blah, blah, blah.
So it's just something that you, as an experience that can be shared together.
It's an experience to share together, and it's also an icebreaker, because all first dates are always awkward.
I do not think I could date a Trump supporter. And I've actually seen this. I've never seen this before in any other campaign where, like, people are like, oh, I found out he was a Trump supporter and I had to break up with him. I've never seen this before.
I know.
But I'm saying that I do not think I could date a Trump supporter. Could you date a Trump supporter?
No.
There's just something so, I mean, and it's not about the politics.
No, it's sort of so, like a mindset.
Yeah.
It's like
just
a lifestyle.
There's just so much that goes with this particular candidate that I could not overlook.
I couldn't either.
I could, and I've never I've never thought, well, I could never date a Romney or a W.
You know, the funny thing is, though, I had, you know, just where you bring politics and friends, like Cammy will post something in the liberal, and I never you know, write anything because I don't want to go there with her.
Yeah. Is that what that's like?
Yeah. You guys don't know about that.
Our projects are different. Hers is, we're writing about this weight loss thing, blah, blah, blah. And she is a comic. And ours is always been, you know, discussing, debating and stuff like that. I have a problem going there with
combat.
You say so. Any port in a storm.
So, the thing, you know, and like I said, I have a friend, a childhood friend, that she always posts this liberal stuff. And as I'm about to type, I'm like, oh, it's her. I don't want to do that to her, you know.
So he looks and sees what I posted. Would you date a Hillary supporter? Because I know you hate her.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm kind of
surprised.
Well,
you know, I think it's just particular to Trump because there's so much other stuff that goes with Trump than his politics. His politics are the least of the issues.
Right.
With Trump. There's just such a pattern of behavior and things that he said.
Yeah.
That for me, I just couldn't overlook. I don't even know how friends that are Trump friends, like, how do I get along with these people?
I think because everybody's very sensitive to what Trump says. You know, and it really. I mean, because it's
time.
No, because we've gotten over. I think we've gotten over zealous with our political correctness and our sensitivity.
There is that,
things.
But Trump goes way past that. I mean, Trump can't even take responsibility when his campaign tweets out something that was only attributed to anti-Semitic / racist website. Not saying that Trump is racist. It's just go, yeah, we got it from there. Somebody's going to get fired.
I do think he's going to start. He's already started a little bit.
Oh, stop. Don't tell. I'm not doing this. Don't tell me about a pivot. It ain't happening. He ain't. Donald's Donald, and that's what you like about him. He ain't pivoting.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, sure, he'll say one thing in the morning and another thing in the afternoon, yeah. But don't you worry. Crazy Donnie's back.
So, now about this dating site. I understand that you read some of the ads on that dating site.
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
we'll get there. Thanks for trying to lead in. I know what time it is.
Okay,
look at you two. Like, I don't know how to run a show all of a sudden. The two of you. Oh no, time. I'm aware.
Okay. Well, there was a stop.
That was just Joe.
I'm just. Boy, he's a sensitive Sam tonight.
It's probably in this heightened atmosphere. Did you ever date anybody who was your political opposite?
I'm trying to think of. Did I? No, I don't think so.
How about you?
Yeah. The ex girlfriend that I had that when I was in the late 90s, she was very liberal. Very liberal, yeah.
Wow, kind of surprised.
If you found out somebody was a Trump supporter after you'd been with them for a while, would you end it?
Oh, that's really tough. I think that there would be things that would come up that I would find that we didn't have in common before. You know, it would be noticeable to me, I think.
Right. So, yes, Pip, I did come across some. We all came across some personals from the Trump Singles website. Joe, what's the first one you got?
I got Donald Trump. About me, I like walls and greatness. I'm a $1 billion real estate developer.
Wait, this is Trump writing a personal?
Yes, this is Trump writing his personal. I like walls and greatness. I'm a $1 billion real estate developer, TV personality, and presidential candidate with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Looking for someone to spend time with as I jet from rally to rally trying to save America. I'm not much on nuclear triads, but I'm sure looking for a nuclear family. I have a plane, golf courses, and I spend time tweeting and helping make America great again. You don't look like Megyn Kelly, Rosie O'Donnell, Hillary Clinton, Carly Fiorina, or anybody on The View, and you must be not illegal. First date, Mar-a-Lago under the stars.
All right, I got Rusty from the Rust Belt. And he writes, I value a woman who's willing to spray tan. Quite frankly, orange is the best. American citizenship is not a must. If we hit it off and you are a supermodel, I'm willing to marry you so that you can gain citizenship. My ideal first date would be a trip to Hawaii so we can find out where Obama was really born. Oh. I work in import-export. My number one import is ties made in China. They are the best. Classy. My last relationship was cut short. My ex said she couldn't get past my wall and get inside. Favorite book, Art of the Deal. Turn-ons, huge boobs, small words, my daughter.
Oh!
Turn-offs, pantsuits, fat pigs, women who have blood coming out of wherever, Mexicans. I mean, I'm told some Mexicans are lovely people, but I just don't want any type of relationship with one, quite frankly, and I'm afraid of being raped. Pip?
Well, here's a woman looking for a man on the Trump site. Looking for a man who wants to make relationships great again. A man who speaks his mind and values a woman for her looks. Together, we can enjoy golfing, yachting, investing, and starting and ending businesses. Turn-ons include small hands, gold-plated everything, steaks, and long-form birth certificates. Turn-offs include illegal immigrants, Muslims, rapists, drug dealers, and Rosie O'Donnell. Looking forward to building a wall full of memories with you.
About me, I can make frumpy pantsuits and look hot.
Wait, but this is a Trump one?
No, this is a Hillary
one. No, do another Trump one. I thought you had another Trump one.
I want to do the Hillary one.
Well, we're not doing Hillary yet. We're finishing Trump first.
Okay. I like rallies.
Well, who are you?
I'm Trump now. I'm going.
You're doing another Trump? Trump?
But you said to do another Trump.
You did them both as Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Ugh. Go on.
All right. Could be. I misread that.
Clearly.
I like rallies, making up nicknames of my competitors, Fox News, creating military strategy from CNN, and goofing on handicapped people. I'm looking for an ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Glad you wrote that.
I am, too.
I am looking for a nice girl, not Muslim or Mexican, to attend my rallies and to let me know how great I am. I do believe in God, but not the Pope. I like jokes, but not at my expense. And I do have some big, and I mean really big hands. Wink, wink. You must like to wear hats saying make America great again. And don't mind being punished if you have an abortion. I don't like being tweeted about things going wrong either. And must have no affiliation to any Latino group. First date, a rally stop at an airplane hangar in Des Moines, Iowa.
That's hilarious. Right,
this is Angie from Alabama. I'm looking for a man that will solve all of my problems. My father left me when I was very young, and since that time, I'm looking for a strong man who will make me feel better. Must be financially secure and be able to withstand an occasional bankruptcy. My ideal first date would be a fun night of gambling at a casino, drinking a little wine, and having some world-class steak. I've not had a serious relationship in quite a long time. I'm just looking for fun, as I'm not a serious person. Favorite book? I don't really read much, but I hear a lot of things. Read the internet and have a really good brain. Once in a while, I read the National Enquirer. Turn on, small hands, money, confidence. Male, unit size, does not matter as long as you can assure me everything is fine down there. Turn offs, Muslims. Well, maybe not all Muslims. No, definitely Muslims. Can I get back to you on that? Men who don't know what the hell is going on, bad negotiators, and men who have low energy. And then we found some on the Hillary site. Joe, what do you got? Are these all Hillary?
Yes.
Of course.
I'm a 69-year-old first lady that is seeking the office of president and also seeking company of a person that wants to enjoy the finer things of life at other people's expense. I have a shrill robotic voice, a heart of stone, and disingenuous, and more skeletons in my closet than a Frankenstein movie. But I'm looking for a man to change me. I like fundraising.
It's going to be a hard sell.
I like fundraising, $10,000 plate dinners. I also love skating, but only away from issues and indictments. Please write me back in a letter because I don't like emails. About you, must not like cigars, Donald Trump, busybody FBI agents, and you must have blinkers on over and look all my thoughts and accusations. So you are with me. First date, the White House.
You, Pip.
Woman looking for a man on the Hillary ad site. Searching for a man of my dreams, one who was ready for a woman to be in charge. Me, big fan of podiums, men of unimpeachable judgment, and intrigue. You, big fan of pantsuits, cankles, and white lies. No cigar smokers, please. You can contact me by phone, instant messenger, Twitter, or Snapchat. No emails, please. Oh, wait, this just in. Emails are welcome.
This is Bill from Arkansas. I'm looking for a woman that will give me my space and let me be me. My friends call me the big dog. I enjoy a good cigar, and once in a while, I even smoke one.
Oh, God.
I love to travel and meet new and interesting people. My ideal first date would be me, you, your friend, her friend, and a couple of interns.
Oh, God.
I'm still technically married, but it's an open marriage, so let's have some fun.
Oh, that's great.
Favorite quote, it depends on what the meaning of the word is. Turnoffs, people who can't keep a secret, people who hold a grudge, my wife.
Turnoffs.
Turn-ons, I like a sexy blue dress, breasts, really any woman with a pulse.
A little too true.
Joe, we got one more from you.
Yes.
Is this Hillary again?
Yes. I can make frumpy pantsuits look hot and make the judicial system look the other way. If you have something in your background that's questionable, don't worry. I don't believe in properly vetting people. I mean, what difference does that make anyway? I like to walk, especially scot-free. I like to travel, especially from Arkansas to Washington, to New York, back to Washington, and I've never been in Benghazi, but I've been associated with it for the past several years. I've had men in my life, but I seem to lose them to suicide and plane crashes.
Oh.
About you? Don't worry. The FBI has your info. First state with 2,000 Syrians.
Oh, wow.
All right, this is Sam from San Francisco. I love softball and bowling. I don't think clothes and makeup make the woman. I'm a down-to-earth gal. I am a homebody. I love sitting by the fire and eating some granola. My ideal first date would be I check my emails and see if you've reached out to me. Quickly, I delete it and then call you on one of my two cell phones. We decide to go to the mall and look at all the products that globalization has brought to our shores. Maybe we pick out something sexy like a pantsuit from the dress barn and then go to a hookah bar.
Hookah bar.
I'm a woman of contradiction. I'm looking for my first relationship with a man.
Funny.
Favorite quote, you don't walk away if you love someone. You help the person. Turnoffs, probing questions. People. People that are too far left. People that are too far right. I like to be right in the middle. Where do you think I should be?
Just likes probing questions.
Turn-ons. Power. Money. Powerless men. Men who have no money. Men who work for the public. For the public good. Men who work on Wall Street. Truly, I'm turned on by everybody and everything. Unless you think that is bad, then I am not. Love me. Please, just love me.
That's so great.
All right, more show. Don't go anywhere. We are back, Davin's Den, Phil and Void. Thank you for hanging out. So this just happened. This just happened down the block for me, as it turns out.
This has happened.
No, for real.
No,
like, this just happened for reals down the block from me. An Orange County woman claimed she was tossed from a Mexican restaurant Sunday for not for too much tequila, but for too much Trump. Esther Levy, 61, of the town where I live, said an employee of the popular Cancun eatery in Sugarloaf, where I've eaten, chucked her out for wearing Make America Great Again hat and a Trump button. I think it's a little much. I think you can go with one. I don't think you need the whole outfit, but whatever.
Yeah, it's like you're clashing now.
No, you can it's stop. Not clashing, but... Levy said she was booted for her support for the presidential candidate who wants to curtail illegal immigration and build a wall on the Mexican border. Yeah, but not at the restaurants. Joined by retired local judge Alvin Goldstein... Why are my people involved?
They're not yours.
No, they're not.
But he's Irish.
Sure. Alvin?
Alvin!
Alvin O'Goldstein.
We can put it out, Dave.
They took a seat and ordered two sangrias from a smiling waitress without incident. Leave your call, but the server soon returned and told them they had to leave. Out! Out! Vamos! Levy said a man who identified himself as a co-owner blasted Levy and Goldstein for supporting Trump as they left. On the way out, the co-owner decided to yell at me and humiliate me, Levy recalled. He said, "We don't serve Trump supporters here. Get out here and never come back." The restaurant said they were thrown out for being rowdy, not for being Trump supporters. Levy was especially upset because she'd been a loyal customer for 25 years. She said, "I know one of the owners. He would greet me every time I came in." She said, "I never had a problem, but he wasn't there on Sunday, and I didn't recognize this guy." Rabbi Bernhard Rosenberg.
Oh, another one. Rabble rouser.
A local Trump booster said he was spreading the word of the incident in order to combat spiraling anti-Trump discrimination. "Set my people free." "Settle down, Moses."
Which people? Trumpsters or
he
Jews?
What are you, spreading a sea of protesters? What is the rabbi talking about?
Make sure
about?
Your people wear vests when they're walking down the street so we can see them when we're coming home.
Not those people.
Oh.
The other people, the Trump people.
So then the owner's son posted this on Facebook. "To the tens of thousands of customers who support us over 25 years of business in the area, we have never and will never discriminate against anyone based on race, religion, gender, sexual preference, or political beliefs. There was an unfortunate situation that was brought to my attention yesterday where claims of discrimination were made by my patrons of the restaurant. An employee of ours asked the patrons to leave because they were being rude to the staff and rowdy due to intoxication. I am personally looking into the facts based on what our staff witnessed and what's been posted on Facebook. I would like to speak with the customers involved, so please call the restaurant so I can get your side of the story. My cell phone was also listed on a post, so you can call me on either number. We will also be speaking with the local newspapers if they've expressed interest in the story. We've treated our customers with the utmost respect and dignity. We've always treated them as one family. This business is our livelihood. It's something we've built from the ground up for 25 years. They take the allegations seriously, and they'll give an update when they have them. All right. I got an issue. First of all, the press is running with this because this is just hearsay.
Yes.
This I know the New York Post is pro-right and the New York Daily News is pro-left. I get that.
Yeah.
But I worked with the Post and the hoops they made me jump through, and they still want to print everything. And this is nothing but hearsay.
Yeah.
This is garbage. Joe, am I wrong?
I think that they had a chance to sensationalize. This woman probably called them and said, "We were thrown out," and he jumped on the story.
But why? But you're supposed to be a journalist. Go, you know what? Let me get the facts
right
before I put this out there. They couldn't wait. This makes me think the woman's an attention seeker.
Well, you know, sometimes that you have people saying that they were discriminated against in a restaurant, and then you see they have something to present. Like they will have the receipt, and it'll show like a person sitting at the table, and it'll have some racist title or something. You know, discriminatory written about them, so they have some evidence. Like you said, this is hearsay. Well, I don't know if they weren't like drunk and carrying
on. You're
or...
absolutely right. There's two sides to every story.
Yeah.
Maybe they were drunk and disruptive. Also, a restaurant reserves the right to refuse service.
Yes.
Unless you're part of a group that can't be discriminated against, like homosexuals, African Americans, you know, disabled people.
Right.
And that's I saw like on their Facebook page, people are saying, this is racist. No, it's not. It's not racist.
It's not.
But when I see these type of things, I automatically think, oh, I guess business is good, where we could just be tossing people out. Whenever I see these businesses refuse people, I just go, business must be great.
But here's the deal.
But it's not.
You just read the tweet from the owner of the restaurant. Yes. Doesn't seem...
Exactly.
You know, No, it doesn't seem that business is good. We could do. He seems very concerned. He seems
there's
one side of the story. He wants to resolve this, and he also wants to keep his place
if
open.
If this woman's a loyal customer for 25 years, can't she take him up and call up and go, hey, let's work this out. This is what happened. I've been here for 25 years.
It seems ridiculous.
It seems like a bunch of attack. And they're going to run. These people might lose their business. They're,
right.
On their Facebook page, there is a lot of hate right now.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous. But if the person went in and they're just wearing the regalia for the political party that they choose to side on, that doesn't mean that you have a right to throw
them
out.
Well, you can, because it's a private.
You can, but it's
but
stupid.
Again,
not in this economy.
Then again, isn't wearing like Trump stuff in a Mexican restaurant kind of like wearing Yankee hat to Fenway?
The jokes write themselves.
I mean, you kind of know you're going to get some guff.
If you're sitting at your table minding your own business. If you're getting drunk and rowdy, you know.
Well, we don't know, but I think the restaurant handled this wrong.
But what I'm saying, I'm not saying what happened, but there's two scenarios. If you're minding your own business, you know, that's fine. If you're getting disruptive, maybe you should be thrown out.
Well, we don't know. I'm just going to leave it with this. The restaurant handled it wrong. You don't kick people out for wearing Trump stuff. You spit in their food like a real American. All right, you're listening to Davin's Den. Don't go anywhere. Back, Davin's Den, been a very Trump-tacular show thus far.
It has.
A lot of Trump stuff, not a lot of arguing, unlike us.
No, I know.
Sorry to let you folks down.
No.
There's still time.
No, it's all insane. You got to recognize insanity when you see it. let's do some drunks in the news. This is quite insane, too. I can't believe this happened. I mean, I can believe it happened. I'll let you know. You can believe it.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
All right, our Benjamin Franklin drinking term for this segment is, this is his term, he's been too free with the creature. I like that one a lot.
Is that about drinking? Are you sure?
I think it's about drinking. I think that's the creature.
I love that.
Yeah, I like that one a lot, too.
I'm going to use that for other things, though.
Do you think Joe's drunk? No, I think he's just been a little too free with
the creature.
Oh, believe me, the creature was pretty free this week.
Sure it was. This is the real history behind Jack Daniels. That's all your drink of choice.
It most certainly is. Yes. It most certainly was.
Interesting. All right, we'll delve into that.
That's exactly what I did.
Sure you did. The Brown family is worth $12.3 billion. Yeah, they should run for president.
Wow.
And their most famous product is Jack Daniels. It is the best-selling whiskey in the world. The Browns told the story that they learned how to make whiskey from an old white preacher. Now it is revealed that they learned from Naris Green, who was a black man enslaved by the old white preacher. For 150 years, Jack Daniels perpetuated a false origin story that never mentioned Naris Green.
Mm.
I kind of think Green's family should be compensated.
You know,
I'm sure he's got descendants.
I bet he has descendants. That is really a good idea.
I mean, I don't know how much you give him, but I think if you're finally going to admit it, you do the right thing.
But compensate him for the original recipe.
Give him a billion.
What's a billion between friends?
He's got 12. They got 12 billion.
I know. That's an awful lot of money.
It's less than 10%.
I know, but it's still an awful lot of money.
I think Neris deserves it.
Well, the thing
is, compensation.
He certainly, I mean, we can continue fighting about the money aspect, but he really does deserve the recognition.
Yeah, well, now he's getting it. So, Joe, you're a Jack drinker, and you kind of hinted that it might change what you do. Or was that just you trying to be funny?
No, not at all. No.
You're going to stop with the Jack Daniels because of this?
No, not at all.
Oh.
I didn't take him to say that. No.
They said it was his drink of choice.
It was this past weekend.
I thought you meant you were going to boycott.
Hells, no, no.
Well, you're quite a man of morality.
No, exactly. Basically, what it was Jack Daniels was an apprentice whiskey maker under the owner that Neris Green worked for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was slave to.
Yes.
And then he wound up buying the recipe, and then Lem Motlow actually inherited it from Uncle Jack and stuff like that. It's good that he got the recognition on that.
Recognition don't pay the rent.
Well, you mm-hmm. know, I don't know how much, I don't know what you do for reparations on that.
I think you take care of the family. I think the family should have been taken care of years ago. Well, I think this is why black people get upset still to this day. Because you know that this isn't the only thing.
No, I mean, our country has a shameful history of, if you'll pardon the pun, whitewashing history and making everything about the European descendant white people, predominantly men, who made history and did everything. And there's another example where this poor guy was a slave and he actually brought them the thing that gave them great wealth and fame. And they probably knew about this a while ago.
Well, yeah, of course they did. They didn't find a secret paper 150 years later.
No, I mean, like, you know, that something that wasn't talked about in the family, perhaps, and then somebody looked into it and said, uh-oh, we've been lying about this all this time, and still kept it quiet because they didn't want the controversy.
It's despicable.
It is. It is.
Would it change? Do you drink, Jack?
I don't.
Would it change your behavior if you did?
No. I would like to see them do something about it, but it wouldn't be.
Just throwing racist. that word out.
He likes to call me racist. It's fun for him.
It's my favorite pastime.
I know.
Stealing recipes from people who can't speak for themselves. Those are my two favorite pastimes.
I do boycott other places or other foods. I'm really not into Nestle at the moment because they're stealing water from towns. But the thing is that...
is it like a guy with like two buckets in a bar?
It's like Nestle Quick Rabbit come up at a Kenworth and a thing. They're taking all the water.
No, but I mean, I'm saying, for example, I will boycott other products, but I don't see the
just
point.
Just not ones you care about. Okay. Listen to Davin's Den. Don't go anywhere. Last segment of the show, and then you are all dismissed. Well, not all of you. Some of you. Some of you have to stay after, but we'll get to that. All right. So it looks like there's a new strategy, new business strategy for some of these apps that we all love. Evernote. Ever hear of Evernote?
I hadn't
either.
Neither have I. Which is an app that functions like a notebook, unveiled a new pricing structure that locks, quote, free users out of using the service on more than two devices. So you could use it on your laptop and your phone, for instance, but not, you know, if you're Hillary, not your second phone. Evernote, because, you know, you need a couple phones. Evernote Plus, which now costs $3.99 a month or discounted to $34.99 annually, is constantly ranked as the top productivity app on both Android and iOS, and it has a lot of users. Evernote is built to house personal information and data you likely couldn't live without. Evernote, like so many apps we love, is they're granting you a license to use its service when you sign up for the account, but you don't own the app.
Right.
They just give you permission to use it. Cybersecurity expert Bruce Schneer called for legal protections. He says it is perfectly legal for Google to turn off your email address, no matter how much it hurts your job, career, or anything, Hillary. Schneer said at the time. But we need to start having these discussions about what these systems, which permeate society to agree, that they become essential to living a full life. What are the rules that these companies follow? That's what he's asking. All right. Are there any free services or apps that you couldn't live without?
Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm an addict.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would pay for Facebook.
Yeah, because I really, really am in deep now.
My email stuff?
Yeah.
I would have to. And Facebook finally got me to use Messenger, which I don't want to use because you give up everything.
And the funny thing is with Messenger, when I got this new phone here, my old phone, I didn't want to use Messenger. I didn't have to use Messenger.
Use the browser.
I got the message. I got to use Messenger.
Yeah, and that gives them permission. But we're so addicted to the Facebook. I know when I'm on the road, I might receive an important thing in regard to a gig through Facebook. So, yeah, they got us right by the cojones.
Yeah, they do.
It turns into a utility now. It's not luxury. It's not cute to have. As I was telling the guy when I got my phone last week, I go, these things are a utility now.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, you got a phone. That's cool. No, you need one
to
survive. And especially with smartphones, you got everything on. You got your GPS. You got your camera. You got, and it's just a way of life now.
Yes, it really is. I mean, I don't have a smartphone yet, but I know he's laughing at me, but I don't yet. But I'm going to.
How's that beeper working out for you?
I have my little flip phone.
I still remember my beeper number.
But I
actually have it.
I use a laptop.
In my book.
Do you use
it?
Reactivate the old Motorola?
No.
That's how long I know. I remember beeper.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
That was one of the first gifts I gave my wife was a beeper, a blue beeper.
A beeper.
That's how long we've been together. It wasn't a wedding present. Settle down.
I remember when I worked for one fence company, I was one of the managers, and I had a beeper. And every time I got on the – never go until I got on the parkway. And this is like way before cell phone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You had to go find a payphone. Find a payphone.
Yeah, I just got on the parkway. You got to be kidding me.
You're actually better off not having the smartphone. You get addicted to it.
I know. Well, that's the thing is that I do not want to become the person who is staring at my palm while I'm sitting at dinner with other people.
Joe does that at night. Hey, leave me out of this. Work your own side of the road. How do you want to call them? Blank sock.
Oh, I know that I'm going to become addicted to the cell phone as soon as I get it. The smartphone. That's why I've been like putting that off as long as possible. But I also put off getting a cell phone in the first place as long as possible because I knew that I would want to be using it. But I'm not quite the addict to that as other people who have the smartphones. I know it'll be there because I am a Facebook addict.
It is addicted. Before I got a smartphone, I look at people, I go, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Get lives. Get lives.
And then you got a shark voice app and you couldn't help yourself.
Yeah, well.
That wasn't annoying. Listen to the old shows, folks. He's on there.
Sharky.
And you want to know something? I was going to try to transfer over all my stuff onto the new phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I had so much crap on there. I decided not to. I still have my old phone. I still own it. It still works.
All right, Hillary.
Yeah.
Let me. Is your new house going to have a closet for your server?
That's funny. That's funny.
Well, speaking of apps, though, one of the things that was really annoying about, I don't remember which app it was, but it was one of the ones that you would use for like photographs and things. Once you posted things up there, they considered it their property.
Yeah. So
theirs.
That's it. You don't own it. Now, is this a case of bait and switch when they lure you in and then they raise the price? I just think it's good business.
Good business.
It's like a drug dealer. They give you the first little hits for free. You get that first bump. You like that. You feel good. Now you're paying for it.
I don't like storing all of my important things someplace on the cloud.
That's the whole thing, because I have all my pictures on my old phone.
Oh,
And you can move it to iCloud, but I don't want to put them there.
No, I would rather store them on my laptop.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
Or put them on CDs, because I don't want to depend on the cloud to be there, and then, oh, poof, we're going to charge you $50 a month now for all your stuff back.
Yeah, could happen. Yeah. Do you think Schneer's right? That there should be laws put in place to stop these companies from changing the game midstream if they become like so ingrained in our life?
You should have a disclaimer that you have to sign on to when you do it. If you want to do it, that's free enterprise. However,
I don't think there should be any of these businesses are entitled to do what they want.
Yeah. They're offering you something for free. It's like buyer or not payer beware.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I'm saying put it in the terms.
I'm sure it's in the terms. Nobody reads the terms.
I bet it is.
We just hit the little check mark and away we go.
Well, that's too bad. It's in the terms. And he had the right to do that.
Yeah, they do.
I think they're fine.
Yeah.
I think they know we're all a bunch of junkies.
Yeah.
I mean, they're clearly exploiting us, but that's what businessmen do.
Well, that's why Facebook has all those little mechanisms in it that they fine-tune the ads to what you're saying and doing. It's creepy.
But
you type about something, Facebook, and all of a sudden an ad pops up on the
Facebook
corner for it.
Every time Facebook does something, it gets worse.
Oh, yeah.
They need to stop.
Yeah.
I'm going back to my MySpace page.
Okay, good luck with that.
We're all addicted to this stupid thing. Aren't we morons?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a moron, too.
No argument here. Moron, where are you going to be?
I am going to be at Bananas Comedy Club in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey on Friday at 9 o'clock and Saturday at 7:30 and 10.
What day? What day?
That would be the 15th and the 16th of July. 201-727-1090 for reservations and information.
Let's see. I have a plug here somewhere. Live comedy on all right,
we're even.
Live comedy on July 15th at Portobello Banquets in Oakland, New Jersey, starring Joe Bronzi, who performs regularly at the Borgata Casino in Atlantic City. For tickets, call 201-337-8990. 201-337-8990 for any portions of the show that you missed and the unedited version as extra goodies. You go to davinsden.com. Make sure you like us on Facebook. You go to Davins and you like us on Facebook. You follow us on Twitter at Davinsden. My Twitter is at Davin Comedy. What's yours, Pip?
Pip Helix.
Joe?
It would be Plankfoot at Twitter.
Of course it would. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.